Behold, this child is set for a sign that shall be contradicted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. About 20 years ago, I was privileged to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Some of you were with me on that memorable trip, seeing Jerusalem and the Holy Sepulchre and Galilee and Jericho and Bethlehem, the altar of the Nativity. Have you ever visited the little side shrine of Saint Joseph? His altar is arranged at Christmas time the way that altar is in Bethlehem. That is to say, under the altar there's kind of a rock grotto, and in the place where our Lord was born, a silver star. And over the star, the Franciscans put a little image of the child Jesus. Amongst the many things that I learned during this pilgrimage, I was charmed to note on this day, New Year's Eve, that even the Jews refer to New Year's Eve, as Americans do, by the name of a saint. They call it Saint Sylvester's Night, or Sylvester Night for short, just as we have in America Saint Valentine's Day. So here you have it, even the enemies of the church paying homage to her saints and to her liturgical year. I wish all of our Catholics were as careful. Well, today we're not talking about the liturgical year that got off to a good start on the first Sunday of Advent, but rather about the civil year, which at midnight tonight concludes. Today, then, is a day of endings. It's the last day of the month of December and of the year 2006. And sadly, for most Americans, today is the last day of their celebration of Christmas. But Christmas has barely begun, and we're not even to Twelfth Night, to Epiphany, yet. Endings are always tinged with sadness. That's how we'll feel come Candlemas, after Christmas has had its 40 days of celebration, and the time comes for us to put down and away all of our Christmas decorations. That's a little bit the spirit of the church today, though. On this Sunday after Christmas, we read one of the Gospels from Candlemas, from the purification of Our Lady. And there's a certain tone of grief about it. Saint Sylvester, he is an excellent patron saint for this last day of the year that bears his name in so many countries, because Saint Sylvester was a pope of endings as well as beginnings. He was the first pope of the new era of the church's peace. With his election, in the year 313 A.D., came the end of 3 centuries of bloody persecution on the part of the pagan Romans. He was the pope, too, of new beginnings, because there began, with shortly after this time of peace, there began a series of internal strifes or heresies, especially the great heresy of Arianism and all of its attendant errors, which was to plague the church for another 300 years. But this pope, as a true pope would, clearly spoke out for the Catholic faith, and he has the honor, a different beginning, of being the first non-martyr to be canonized as a saint. The great burning question of his day was about this child. Whom think ye will this child be? Is he God? Is he a man? Is he the creator of all? Or was he created himself in time? Arius, the fallen priest, like Mohammed, who would come after him, refused to believe in the Blessed Trinity and that God has a son from all eternity. The battle, as always, raged round yon virgin, mother and child. She is inseparable from the story. And thus Simeon says in prophecy, in today's gospel, about our Lord being a sign of contradiction for the rise and for the fall of many in Israel, that Our Lady's heart, that her soul would be pierced with a sword of sorrow, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In other words, the way people think about Our Lady is how they think about our Lord. What a profound truth that is. In this world, what does it think? We heard last on Christmas about what the world thinks about Our Lady, and her son fares no better. The world's wisdom and the weakness of its will, of its flesh, of its prideful mind, rejects our Lord, his life and his teachings, and his church and his mother. You might say almost that for this, the Gentiles and the Jews team up together to attack the church, to attack the child, the sign of contradiction down throughout the centuries. I don't think they have yet stopped or even taken a break. The tragedy is when we Christians swell their ranks and attack our Lord. St. Bernard says that we contradict Christ, we, because our Lord comes in humility. And face it, so many days, so many occasions, we're proud. And our Lord shows this profound poverty. We, these days, greed, our intemperance and gluttony, how do they look next to the fasting of our Savior? Our impurity and the nudge-nudge and the wink-wink, how does that size up to the standard of purity given to us by Mary's Son? And all of this, these failures, year in and year out. Simeon's sad prophecy is all the time being proved true. But these are not the last words that Mary will hear on the first Candlemas, the first feast of the presentation in the temple. She will hear something that will speak to her about what we spoke of on Christmas, one of the most important and beautiful words in the human language, a word of reparation, which should be describing the way we speak still today when we consider our sins and all the rest of it. How that Almighty God, who in his truth declared just how controversial his Son should be, his Christ, his anointed one, and we, for our part, almost expect that religion should be a respectable, undemanding and rather quiet affair. No wonder he's the sign that will be contradicted. And at every contradiction, he permits the heart of his mother to be wounded. But I say, when the prophecy was first said, there was a comfort, kind of a little bit of balm that one person poured into the painful wound in Our Lady's heart, and it elicited in turn from our Blessed Mother a wonderfully gracious act of courtesy. Whatever we do in the way of devotion to her, reparation, be it only a Hail Mary sleepily murmured by some old sinner before he goes to bed at night, the Mother of God, in her exquisite courtesy, receives it graciously, and she never forgets it. But this time, it came from the courage of an elderly lady, an old prophetess full of the Holy Ghost, Anna, 84 years, and not departing from the temple by night or by day, St. Luke says. serving our Lord by fasting and prayer. She reminds me of many of you who, when the occasion calls for it, as we're getting ready for Christmas or celebrating the Holy Night, or now with 40 hours coming, regardless of your age, if you're men or women or young people, there are some of you who will seem almost not to depart from the temple of God by night or by day as you serve him. Now, Anna knew the Blessed Mother. Remember, Our Lady herself was presented in the temple at the age of 3, and she lived there until she was betrothed to her husband, Saint Joseph. So they knew each other. And after Simeon said those awful words, even though she knew of them in advance, it made her and St. Joseph sort of reel back with the horror of it. Her eyes fall upon this friendly and familiar face. She approaches Anna, Mary does, and, ever the humble one, she greets her first. And they catch up on their news, and then she proudly shows her child, the Son of God, the awaited one of the nations, to Anna, the prophetess. Now, Our Lady makes this approach because of what she has heard Anna saying. She has been praising Almighty God, thanking him, and talking of the coming of the redemption of Israel to any soul that would be sincere. These words, this kind of a conversation, served as a reparation for the awful wound made by sin in her heart. Surely, you and I, in the course of this new year, could continue the conversation. For that is what prayer is. It is talking to God. What an opportunity is ours at the 40 hours. You may be the only person in church at some quiet hour. Just you and our Lord in the sacred host, or the reparation of our first Fridays and our first Saturdays, not a few times, but every month as we can throughout this new year, or just living the gospel message. We forget it, and thus Our Lady came at Fatima to remind us about penance and prayer and conversion of heart. It is true, we are awfully weak, and as St. Bernard complains, usually contradicting Jesus Christ. This past year, how often have we, in this season of conspicuous consumption, been poor with the poor Christ, or pure, pure as the Blessed Mother herself tells us we are meant to be, or humble, or hungry, or any of these things. We fail his humanity. It seems too high a standard for us ever to begin to reach the demands that are made by this one little child whose birth changes everything. But at the very least, I think this may be true of us. Not a one of us would contradict this child who is the Word of God in his divinity. You and I, at least sometime, surely, have managed to confess Christ. What does that mean? The term confessor, as you read it in the Missal, remember, does not mean a priest who hears confessions. It first of all means someone who publicly declares his belief in our Lord. And that is what we do, especially when our Lord is attacked or his name is taken in vain. It's true, our wills are weak, but our faith is strong, and may it continue strong all throughout the months of this new year. And when we look at what our weakened wills have wrought, we are aghast to consider that gaping wound in our Blessed Mother's heart, and to know that we had a part in putting it there. Christian, this Sylvester's night, you have a year's worth of conscience to examine. Doesn't leave much time, really, for carousing, does it? But between the time of this Mass and when, pray God, we meet tomorrow for Holy Mass again, offer some reparation at least. Continue that consoling conversation of Anna with Mary in your own heart. So that one day it may be continued in the very courts of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.